start. So just to be absolutely clear, you know, the picture is not complete. There are gaps. There are things I don't fully understand. On one hand, it's completely compelling. It's clear that it's really there. Though not every, sorry, it's clear that eventually it will be all there, but it's not there yet. And even the part that I, so it's mostly the V column is hard. But even the parts I do understand well will take us, you know, the rest of the time to cover. Okay, so don't expect everything to be, to fall in place right away. It will take some time. Okay? And the other column is, you know, I'm sort of not the smartest fellow in the world. I mean, it took me, I mean, I think many people might go through it much faster, understand it much better, and some of you may find it much clearer than me. But what can I say? I mean, I've been around for 20 years and sort of that's more or less what I found, but there's a lot, well, I think some people have the tools to understand this a lot better than me, and I hope this will include some of you. Anyway, sorry, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Anyway, so back to columns 1, 2, 3, in a way, in a language that could have been used 20 years ago, and in fact doesn't quite generalize for the rest, or just doesn't quite work the same in the other cases, but it's still good to start with the classics. Okay? So I want to define a finite type invariant. How many of you have seen this, by the way? How many of you have not seen this? I mean, because, again, this is, well, 20 years old, but we should nevertheless do it. So let V be an invariant of oriented knots in oriented R3. Okay? So, I mean, later I will generalize to other types of knots and not necessarily knots, braids, etc., but I want to start with the most basic thing. So, again, what does it look like? I'm sorry. It looks like here is a knot. To say that it's oriented means that the arc itself has a direction, and oriented R3 means that I know my left from my right. Okay, I know which of my two hands is right and which one is left. Okay, so any such invariant can be extended to knots with double points. So what's a knot with a double point? I guess it's the same picture, except there is a double point somewhere. This is not to be confused with virtual crossings, whose depiction is lines going through each other, but sort of they go through each other without noticing each other. And this is sort of the opposite. They go through each other and meet at the vertex. Okay? Anyway, how do you do this extension? You just define V of a double point to be V of an overcrossing, the double point resolved to an overcrossing, minus V of the double point resolved to an undercrossing. So basically, you find a double point, So if you want to define V on a knob that has a double point, you look at the small neighborhood of the double point and you replace it either by an overcrossing or by an undercrossing. You get two distinct knots, potentially distinct knots. You evaluate V on one, you evaluate V on the other, you take the difference, and this is defined to V to be V evaluated on the knot with double point. Okay? Now, this can be iterated. So if you have V, which is, and you want to define it on a knot that has several double points, so when I draw a little thing like this, what I mean is that V has n double points, and it may has, sorry, not V, the knot has n double points, but other than that, it may have lots of other features, right? It may be a very complicated knot otherwise. I'm just drawing the parts that I care about. Okay? So you just declare this to be V of pick any one of the double points and resolve it to an overcrossing while keeping all the others in the same way. And subtract from it, well, keep all the others the same way, but resolve the one that you've picked to be an undercrossing. Okay? And again, that was an iterated definition, so you can kind of apply this again and again, and at the end, you will get a sum over 2 to the m resolutions. So each double point can be resolved either to a positive crossing or to a negative crossing, so you have 2 to the m resolutions, and you see because you have signs, it will come with signs, and you will compute V on the resolved, the various possibilities for resolved knots. And the sign, of course, will be the number of times, or minus 1 raised to the power, the number of times you've resolved to an undercrossing. Okay? Now, so differences are like the combinatorial analogs of derivatives. Okay? So it's fair to think of V evaluated on a knot with a double point as being the derivative of V. So in fact, I could have equally well written here V prime. I could have said this is really V prime evaluated on a tangent vector. Okay? But I don't bother to write the prime because it's understood. The moment I evaluate V on something with a double point, it's really an evaluation of V prime. Okay, of the analog of V prime. Likewise, this I could have written it as the nth derivative. Okay, but again, I sometimes don't bother to write the upper m here because it's understood. The moment you evaluate it on not with m and not with m double points, it's as if you've evaluated an nth derivative. Okay, and in fact, you know, you could have asked, why is it that it doesn't matter which double point I resolve? Okay? Why is it that it doesn't matter which double point? I said take one of the double points and resolve it. Why is it that it doesn't matter which one I resolve? So one answer is because when you resolve all of them, you get a uniform formula, and it's always the same formula, the sum of 2 to the m resolutions, no matter in which order you resolve them. But another way to say it is that it's the analog of the fact in calculus that partial derivatives commute. So if you differentiate with respect to changing this crossing or with respect to changing that crossing, it doesn't matter in which order you at which order you differentiate. Okay, so it's the analog of partial derivatives commute. Okay, anyway, so now that this is all analogous to differentiations, I can find the analog of polynomials. So what's a polynomial? A polynomial is something whose nth derivative, a polynomial of degree m is something whose m plus first derivative vanishes. Right? That's true in ordinary calculus. So now let's do the same for knots. So definition, V is F type M, or alternatively, Vasiliev F type M, if it is like a polynomial of degree M. So, if V, the M plus first derivative, is always equal to zero. In other words, if V evaluated on any knot that has M plus one double points is equal to zero. So no matter which knot with M plus one double points you choose. Okay? So in some sense this is like a polynomial, we say that V is of finite type if it is of finite type M for some M, or alternatively we say that V is Vasiliev if it is Vasiliev of type M for some M. Okay? Now, what did I want to say? So in some sense this is like a polynomial on the space of knots, which is completely distinct from what the Jones polynomial is. The Jones polynomial is a function on the space of knots whose values are polynomials. It's a completely different thing, right? So, nevertheless, one of the first few things that I want to show is to show you that the Jones polynomial is in some sense a polynomial on the space of knots, not just a polynomial. Yes?
Sorry, does it mean like, so it should be applied at most M? When you say...
No, so when I say type, it means at most. So the word type is not the same as the word degree.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so an invariant of type 3 is also of type 7.
Right.
Automatically. So, okay, so when I say that, okay?
Right.
Okay. So, I guess, examples. Oh, by the way, I should have said invariant with values where. So, the only thing I need to know in order to set up, to make this setup, is I need to take, to be able to take differences of values. And furthermore, I don't quite know in which order to take these things, so basically I need to live in an abelian group. So I should have said it should be an invariant, so V is defined on the set of all knots, and it should have values in some abelian group A. Maybe the integers, maybe something else, okay? So, examples. Well, I suppose the first example is V is equal to a constant. So the invariant that maps all knots to the number 7. Okay? It's a very weak invariant. It doesn't distinguish any knot from any other knot. Okay? But still, it is of, well, it's like a constant, so it's of a polynomial of type 0. Okay, so it's of type 0, because you see, all I have to show is that V evaluated on anything with 0 plus 1 double point, so with 1 double point, is equal to 0, but a knot with 1 double point gets resolved to over minus under, but both the over will give you 7 and the under will give you 7, and 7 minus 7 is equal to 0. So the constant 7 is an invariant of type 0. Not very interesting. Okay? Example number 2. Well, already for example number 2, I have to lie to you. Okay, not to lie, to modify the definition. The definition was for knots. Equally well, I could have used links. I didn't use any property of knots, right? I could have used a two-component knot, okay? So, definition, if you have a two-component link, Okay, so here's a two-component link. We define the linking number of that two-component link, so let's call the two components, I don't know what, X and Y. So it's a sum over all crossings, you know what, X and Y, I want X to be the crossing. So let's call the components A and B. So it's the sum over all crossings X of A and B. So in other words, if at some point X B self-intersects or A self-intersects, I don't bother to count this. Of minus 1 to the crossing, so the sign of the crossing, maybe I should write it as the sign of the crossing. And I guess I want to divide by 2. Okay? So the sign of a crossing is, well, the right-hand crossing is plus 1, and the left-handed crossing is minus 1. Okay? So, for example, here, well, I guess the link has to be oriented, so let's orient it this way. This is a positive crossing. This one is also a positive crossing. So it's here we get 1/2 of 1 plus 1. So the linking number of this two-component knot is 1. Okay? Are you with me? Am I wasting totally your time? For some of you, well, okay, I mean, okay. So, claim, this linking number is of type 1. So it's like a linear function on the space of knots. So I think I'll give you a sketchy proof and leave it to you to complete it. So if you really want to understand, you have to complete it if you haven't seen it before. Okay? So basically what I'll do is I'll take the derivative and show that it's a constant so that if I differentiate again, I get 0. Okay, so suppose I have a two-component knot, okay, and a link, I mean, sorry, and I differentiate in one place. So I look at the difference between this point being an overcrossing or being an undercrossing. Okay, so what do I get? Well, you see, if I resolve it to an if I resolve this thing to an overcrossing and then compute the linking number will be a sum over all crossings, including this one. If I resolve it to an undercrossing and compute the linking number, it's again a sum over all crossings. So it's the same sum. So everything cancels, except that crossing itself, which in one resolution becomes contributes a plus 1, and in the other resolution contributes a minus 1. So the difference between the two possibilities is 1 minus minus 1, right? Because I take the over minus the under. But there is a factor of 1/2, so the overall contribution is that, which is 1/2 of 2, which is 1. So the derivative of the linking number is a constant, and therefore the second derivative will be 0, and therefore we're done. Okay? So homework, convince yourself that I didn't cheat. Okay? Next example, maybe I'll call it example 2a, variant 2 prime, a variant of example number 2. So you see, remember that I sometimes don't bother to mod out by write a master one. Okay? So if you don't bother to mod out by write a master one, then the things you are left with, the kind of knots you're left with, have an additional integer invariant. And the integer invariant is called the self-linking number. So define the self-linking of a knot k to be, but now this is a so-called, well, I'll say in a minute what it is called, but define it to be the sum over all crossings in k of minus one, of the sign of the crossing. No one half, no nothing. Okay? So for this purpose, k has to be a so-called framed knot. So a frame knot is more or less a knot where you don't mod out by Rademaster 1, and precisely it's a knot along with a so-called framing, where a framing is sort of a satellite that goes parallel to the knot. So a choice at any point along the knot, it's a choice of a normal to the knot, but this choice is continuous and is taken up to homotopy. Okay? So in other words, if you move if you deform that choice of the normal, it's considered the same. But then sort of the framing might in itself spin around the knot. Okay? What do I want to say about this? Oh, so if you draw the knot on the blackboard, it has a canonical framing, the so-called blackboard framing, which is you take the normal, you let the normal be always pointing to the right. Okay? Or equivalently, spin it 90 degrees and always pointing up. Or equivalently, always pointing to the left. Or equivalently, always pointing back. Okay? So knot diagrams drawn in the plane have a canonical framing. But if you look at the framing of this, you will find that it is not equivalent to the framing of that. The framing of this is this. The blackboard framing of this is that. The blackboard framing of this is that. And I suppose my belt becomes handy once again. So, you know, a belt is essentially a framed knot, because you can think of one side of it as being the knot and the other side as indicating the framing. So the normals go from one side to the other. And if you take a belt, spin it around, well, turn it around, it's a bit hard to do it because the material doesn't cooperate. But anyway, here's the belt with blackboard framing. Oh, you know what? Sorry. I'll use the better blackboard framing, the inward pointing blackboard framing. Okay? So this is a belt with blackboard framing, right? And if I pull it straight, it comes out twisted. So it's not the same as the blackboard framing here. Okay? Anyway, for a frame knot, this is an invariant. And it's the so-called self-linking. And in fact, by the way, it's equal, and you can check it, and if you want, it's another homework assignment. It's equal to the linking number of the knot with its, push it a little bit in the direction of its framing. Okay? But anyway, for the same reasoning as before, it's an invariant of degree one. Okay? And maybe just an example, the ordinary trefoil drawn this way and framed with blackboard framing has self-linking 3. Okay? Good. Now, more interesting examples. So,
sorry,
yeah?
For the first one, if the double point belongs to one of the components, don't you get zero?
Sorry?
If the double point belongs to just one of the components, no, I mean the linking number?
Yes, you're right. Sorry. So when I this is part of convincing yourself that I didn't cheat much. Okay. So yes, I did cheat. I differentiated with respect to a double point that belongs to a that links the two components. You also have to check the case where you may have a double point that lives on a single component. But then it's even easier. Okay.
Yeah, it just gets you.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I guess we can go on to more interesting examples. So, basically, all not polynomials are also polynomials or knots in the appropriate sense. So I'll just give two examples. So the Jones polynomial. So remember that the Jones polynomial has values. So J of K will be, a function of Q. And it will be an element in the ring of Laurent polynomials. So in Z adjoint Q and Q inverse. Okay? So what you can do is you can take the Jones polynomial of K and evaluate it at, instead of writing, substitute e to the x into Q. So put here e to the x. So it will be e to the minus x into Q inverse. And now what you get is a function of x. You can take this function and write it as a power series in x. So you can write it as sum of over m goes from 0 to infinity, of vm of k times x to the m. Now, vm is the mth coefficient of the Jones polynomial in a certain presentation, in a certain change, after some change, a certain change of variable. The Jones polynomial was an invariant of knots, so did not depend on a specific picture you used in order to draw the knot, to draw the knot. So Vm will be also a knot invariant. Okay, every coefficient will also be a knot invariant. So each Vm is a knot invariant. Okay, maybe I should call them Vmj of knots, of k. Okay, now each Vmj is a knot invariant, and it's valued in the rationals because once I did this substitution of e to the x, I will get denominators. Okay. So claim Vmj is of type M. So the Jones polynomial as a whole is not a finite type invariant. Yet each individual coefficient is a finite type invariant with degrees that rise, with types that rise with the higher coefficients are higher type. So if you fully understand the theory of finite type invariants, if you know all finite type invariants of a knot, you also know it's Jones polynomial. Okay? So in particular, that you know, a priori, when I gave the definition, it could have been that there are no finites, that there are very few finite type invariants, that there are very weak invariants. But this proves that finite type invariants are at least as powerful as the Jones polynomial. Okay?
There's a way to get from the Concevich integral to the Jones polynomial?
Gee, you're speaking in a language I don't yet understand. Given, you know, tomorrow I will understand your question. But the answer is yes. Definitely yes. Okay, yes?
Which substitutions would give you coefficients which are finite type? What is special about this substitution?
Almost nothing. You could have written here 1 plus x. Yeah. So I mean, but the convention is to write e to the x, and one it does make some formulas later on simpler. Okay. But it's again, it's insignificant. The main point is that in some substitution, you can read the coefficients off by finite type invariants, or the Jones polynomial is sort of a series of finite type invariants. Anyway, here's the proof. So remember last time, most of you were not here yesterday, but background material is that the Jones polynomial satisfies the identity Q of J of an overcrossing minus Q inverse of J of an undercrossing is equal to Q to the 1/2 minus Q to the negative 1/2 times J of a smoothing. Okay? And but now let me substitute e to the x into it and write it and replace e to the x by 1 plus x plus whatever it is. So what is e to the x? It's 1 plus x plus maybe x squared over 2 and so on. Okay? Times j of n over minus 1 minus x plus, I don't care about the rest, times j of n under is equal to, so again let me replace this by a power series, so this begins with 1, this begins with 1, they cancel, the term proportional to x, this is 1/2 x, this is minus minus 1/2 x, so it's x plus higher order stuff times j of this. Right? But so now what I will do is I will keep the ones on the left. So I will keep the ones on the left and move all the other terms to the right. Okay? So I will get J of an overcrossing. No, that's an under. J of an overcrossing. That's this one. Minus J of an undercrossing is equal to so X times J of a smoothing, so X plus ta 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 times J of a smoothing plus or minus X plus ta 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 times J of an over. You know what? I don't really care to write what appears in the rest. What I really care is that there is always an x that you can factor out. So it's x times various further power of x. So more x's and evaluations of j's. Evaluations of J, either at a smoothing or at an overcrossing or at an undercrossing. I don't really care. Okay? But now the point is that, well, this is J of over minus J of under, which is what was defined to be the extension of J to a knot with a double point. Okay? So if you evaluate J on a knot with a double point, you'll get a factor of X, and then various for much, and then further nonsense. Now iterate this, and you will find that if you compute J on a knot with m plus 1 double points, you will be able to pull out, from each double point, you will be able to pull out a factor of x. So you will get x to the m plus 1 times mess. Okay? But I don't care what the mess is. Because the point is, if I'm only looking at the coefficient of x to the m here, it's going to be zero, because, well, because this starts with x to the m plus 1. So, vmj evaluated on a knot with m double points, with m plus 1 double points, sorry, is going to be 0 and QED. Okay? So, the same argument, so I wrote the argument for the Jones polynomial, but the same argument will work for the Alexander polynomial after a certain change of variable, and we didn't talk about other invariants, but there is the Homfli polynomial, and there are various other other such not polynomials, and the same argument will work for all of them. Okay. So the theory of finite type invariants is at least as strong as all of those not polynomials taken together. Okay. So the next thing you want to do is, well, if it seems to be a strong theory, let us find all not all finite type invariants. Let us try to. Can we enumerate all of them? Okay, that will be good, right? Oh, maybe even before that, you know what? Conjecture, and this is still an open problem, finite type invariants, the separate knots. So, this is roughly like saying that polynomials are dense in the space of all functions. Okay? But, you know, it's sort of an analog of Taylor's theorem. Yeah?
Are the colored versions of Homfli also?
Yes. Yes. Definitely. Okay. But anyway, let us now try to classify finite type invariants. Okay, so I guess the idea is, well, it's the same idea that I mentioned before. On day 7, you study type 7 and ignore type 8. Okay, but more precisely, if you want to study polynomials of degree 7, you can just look at the 7th derivative and it will be a constant. Or in fact, if it's polynomials in many variables, then it will be a system of constants, depending on the which directions you differentiate in. Okay, but it's still just a system of constants, so it's sort of a finite amount of information. So the idea is to do the same to finite type invariants. Okay, so idea. Given V of type M, study its mth derivative, which I will call W sub V, which, if you wish, is, well, V up M, which, if you wish, is V restricted to, maybe I'll call it Km, where Km is knots with exactly M double points. Okay? And the point is that this, in some sense, should be a constant. Okay? Furthermore, suppose you know that this constant is zero. If you know that WV is zero, so the nth derivative of V is zero, then it means that V is of type M minus 1. That's the definition of type M minus 1. So those you've already studied yesterday. Okay, so in some sense, if you study these by induction, so if you study by induction the VVs, you know, on day one you study them for V's of type 1, on day 2 for V's of type 2, and so on, then it's the same as studying the knots, the knot invariants themselves. Okay. So in what sense is this a constant? Okay? So the point is that suppose you look at V up M and you evaluate it on a knot, well, I mean, it has to be evaluated on a knot with exactly M double points. Now, suppose that knot also has some overcrossing somewhere. Okay? I claim that this is the same as V up M evaluated on, take these M double points, keep them in the same place, and replace the overcrossing by an undercrossing. Okay? So in other words, once you have M double points, the remaining crossing don't matter. If you switch one of the remaining crossing, nothing changes. The value of V up M, namely the value of W, does not change. Why? Because the difference between this and that is, by definition, V evaluated on a knot with M plus 1 double points, which was assumed to be 0. Okay? So this is equal to that. But now we have to think a little bit. Suppose we're looking at knotted, knottings that are of circles that are allowed to have M self-intersections. But other than that, we don't care about the topology. Other than that, we can flip, other than those M double points, we can flip over to under freely. Right? Because that's what it says here. So what remains? Okay? So maybe I'll phrase it as a question. Question. So, question, what is knots with M double points, right, this I've just defined here, modulo, well, resolving a single double points in knots with M plus 1 double points. Or since I'm introducing a new notation, let me just write it in simpler terms. What is knots with M double points modulo over is equal to under. Modulo kill topology. Okay, let's give this a name. Kill topology. Okay? So, claim. And again, you'll have to go home and convince yourself that I didn't cheat you. So, what stays? What remains after I kill topology? So, suppose you're an ant walking on the knot. Okay? You walk along the knot. So, you know what? Maybe I'll draw an example of a knot with 2 double points. Yeah, here is a knot with 2 double points. Suppose you are an ant walking on the knot. Okay, you don't care. You don't see this double point. You don't care about it. You can flip it. It doesn't matter anyway. Okay, but you do notice that you go through a double point. So what you see is that you go through a certain double point. You leave a mark there. Okay, and you keep going, and then you go through another double point, and you notice that it's not the one you've been to before. So you call it number 2. Okay, and then you keep going, and you notice that you go through number 1 once again. And then you keep going, and you go through number 2 once again. So an ant walking along this knot will see that it goes through 1, 2, 1, 2. Okay? Whereas an ant going along this knot with double points, doesn't matter where it starts, let's say it starts here, will go through 1, 2, 2, and then 1. So 1, 2, 2, 1. And so, and there is no way, I mean, if you just flip crossings, it's not going to change the order by which you go through the double points. And I claim that that's all. So I claim that the answer to the question is that this quotient is essentially the set of such sequences, such patterns by which an ant will go through the double points. Okay? And a better way to mark such a pattern is as follows. So really what it is the circles that the ant walks on with pairs of points marked as identified. So basically, when the ant walks along the parameter circle, it knows that when it's at this point, it's at the same point in R3 as when it is at this point. And also, maybe that pair will be identified. And if there were more pairs, if we were talking about a degree M knot, there will be exactly M such chords. So exactly M such pairs of points on the parameter that correspond, that go to the same double point in the image. Okay? So, by the way, the chord diagram underlying this picture will be this, and the chord diagram underlying this picture will be that. Okay? And in general, the answer is the set of all double points with chord diagrams with exactly M chords, and this I will call DM, chord diagrams with M chords. Are you with me? Are you okay? Okay. But also, somebody should tell me how I'm doing on time. I think it's time to quit, but I feel like I've done nothing. So, should I quit or... Okay, I'll quit, but I really have done nothing, and there is really, really much more to do, okay? So, to be continued at 2:00.